Well, praise the Lord, because this is a topic that's not only relevant to every day, but I would imagine that everyone in here is familiar with experiencing anxiety, at least to some degree, but sometimes to a very high degree, to the point to where you don't know where to turn. You have so many things coming upon you at the same time, and it sometimes can get overwhelming. Now, this set of scriptures, I have to preface it this way, because Jesus outlines a principle that applies, I believe, in almost all situations. However, I don't neglect the fact that sometimes there are extenuating circumstances that are just simply way beyond our control, God knows, but they're way beyond our control that maybe doesn't fall into the everyday that I'm going to talk about. So what I'm going to talk about, you apply it to your everyday life, okay, every day. There may be those extenuating circumstances, that, like I said, that you just can't control. For example, in the Old Testament, there were times when, and we know that God provides. We know that. We believe that. And we wholeheartedly believe that. But there were times when famine occurred. And then people were, look at our own country. Our own country went into a whole period there of the Depression era. Okay, anxiety, I'm sure, would be very high, especially when you have kids and you don't know how you're going to feed kids and whatnot. But what I'm going to talk about has to do with mostly your everyday life, because sometimes we really miss the point when we give our hearts to Jesus Christ. It's not just your heart. It's your whole life. It's your being, and you're either going to believe him or you're not. Like Eddie talked about this morning, you're going to make a decision. You're going to make a decision as to whether or not you're going to believe his words or not. So we're going to jump right on in, because immediately he says in that Sermon on the Mount section that we revere so much, there was a point there that he was wanting to address people who have everyday anxiety. Now, I've met those people. I've been that person on occasion. And you got to guard against it, because I'll get into why it's so important. But here he says in chapter 6, verse 25, he says, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life." Well, I want to pause there for just a second. I love the King James Version of the Bible, but sometimes it leaves a little bit there to be understood. If you were to tell me something about, I don't know how I'm going to pay my bills this week, and I said to you, well, don't take thought about it. You know, the impact really don't hit you, does it? If I simply say, don't take thought about it, what I'm really telling you is don't worry. Don't worry. So when he says, take no thought, he's talking about worrying. Now, let me take that a step further. This is not just simple worry. This is where it paralyzes you. Worry to the point that it paralyzes you. Your mind is not in the present. It's at tomorrow or it's at next week. Your mind is not on the task that you need to do at hand. You're living in the future. This is the kind of worrying that gets paralyzing to a lot of people. And by the way, it's hard not to think about what's going to happen in the future. But the problem with that is we spend so much time and energy, and oftentimes what you think was going to happen in the future doesn't. So now you've worried for nothing. Now, granted, there are times when your worry is legitimate, but my point here is talking about everyday living. So he says, take no thought for your life. This is your life in general, okay? about what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor for your body about what ye shall put on. So listen to what he's talking about. He's talking about everyday needs. Everyday needs. He's talking about these things. And he's basically saying, don't expend all your thoughts on these everyday needs. Because he says, is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment, which is clothes? Meat is food. When he says meat in this regard, it's food. Is not the life more than food and clothes? It is. That's the conclusion you come to. That's what's called a rhetorical question. The rhetorical question is that he already knows the answer. And so he gives us an example. If you don't realize this, the animal kingdom is preaching to you all the time. I just wonder how much we listen. The animal kingdom is preaching to you because he says, behold, in other words, look at the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Of course, how could they? They can't build barns, but they don't sow, they don't reap. But then he goes on, he says, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. And are ye not much better than they? So the fact that he's bringing up an example of the animal kingdom here, the birds, okay, where's the last building any bird other than a little nest? When's the last place that they've ever built anything? They can't. But the fact is, he's saying that these small little creatures are sufficiently cared for. The Father feeds them. And he's like saying, don't you think you're much more worth than they are? And the fact is, we are. It's another rhetorical question. So he's asking the question, are ye not much better than they? And the answer is yes. The answer is yes. Now, here I need to pause for just a second because a lot of people might misunderstand. And by the way, when I say a lot of people, not just people in here, but people who may listen to this recording later on, they might misunderstand and just basically say, you know, just sit down, not do anything, and says, well, you know what? I'm going to have faith that God's going to feed me. Not going to work that way. We know this, but here again, sometimes we don't apply these everyday principles correctly to our lives. And why do I say that? Well, laziness is something that is not tolerated in the scriptures. God has a lot to say about laziness. Go back and read some in Proverbs. But Paul, when he went around and evangelizing, he even said this to the Thessalonians. Because people, they heard the message that the Lord was coming any day now. We hear that message too. But what happened there at Thessalonica, well, people were started going, well, wait a minute. If the Lord's getting ready to come any day now, I'm just going to stop working and I'm just going to wait. I'm going to wait on the Lord. Well, that's a different kind of wait than we're used to. So here's what he told them. He told them in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 10, he said, for even when we were with you, meaning during that evangelistic time, he said, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, you see that? If any would not work, neither should he eat. In other words, he's just a consumer. He's not a producer. See, here's the principle. God will sustain us if we participate in that action, okay? This is not something we can just remain passive. Think about it with the birds. Is God going to feed them if they just sat there in their nest? Of course not. Of course not. God will feed them, but they have to work to get it. God provides for them, but they have to take action. So when you begin to spend all your energies, your mind, and all your thoughts about worrying about everyday needs, you're basically saying, I don't trust you, God. I don't trust you. And so he's using the example of the animal kingdom to say, you can trust me. You can trust me for your everyday things. And Paul even says, if you don't participate in working with God, then you shouldn't even eat. So he goes on to say in Matthew, verse 27, so here we go. Which of you, by taking thought, or many thoughts, or constant thinking, can add one cubit to his stature? A cubit is 18 inches. If you're curious where they get that measurement, it's the distance from my fingertip usually to about here. That's a cubit. And by the way, in the Old Testament, it's referred to as a man's cubit. Why? Because it's a man's arm. Now, there's another kind of cubit that's actually a little longer, and I don't know where that actually comes from, but it's a different size. But anyway, a cubit, 18 inches. Who can worry himself taller? No one. But he's trying to explain here, in Jesus' case, he's explaining that worrying is ridiculous. It's useless. It has no benefit at all. It's this, in other words, you might be more likely to worry yourself taller than you would be to acquire all this other stuff by worrying about it. And so here is where the anxiety part comes in. It's where you're constantly worried about this or that, and it always seems to be in the future. You're worried about what's going to happen tomorrow, next week. Now, I just announced to you that I may have to take a trip overseas. Some people would immediately start to worry. Oh, what if the plane goes down? Oh, what if some war breaks out? Or what if some protest breaks out? You know, I could go on, and I can spin that in all kinds of ways to where I could have my mind so overwhelmed that it will paralyze me. But what I have to do is take into the account that God is for me. God is going to protect me. I believe that, and I believe he will provide not only for my needs, but for my defense and my safety. But the thing about that is, people live in the future and can't seem to pull themselves back, and they have all this anxiety. You realize to some, it can get so bad that they can't even get out of bed the next morning? It's hard. It's very hard. But he's trying to show you the ridiculousness of worrying, because he's basically saying you can't take thoughts and cause yourself to grow. He's showing you how ridiculous that is. And then he goes on to say, and why take ye thought for raiment? Okay, for clothes. So here he goes again. He's talking about specifically about clothes. Why are you worried about clothes? And then he goes on to say, consider the lilies of the field and how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. There you go. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. I was curious about this scripture. So I started trying to figure out what he was talking about, because I know that King James translates it to lilies, and all of us know what lilies are. But think about where Jesus was. He was out on a mountain. He was given this sermon, and everything either right there with him, the birds, the lilies of the field. Well, they're probably what's referred to in our day and time. Anemones, is that right? It's a buttercup. It's a type of wildflower over in Israel. So I went looking it up as to the kinds of wildflowers over in Israel. Man, when I saw the pictures, it almost looked like there was a mix of roses. There was certain of the buttercups that were blue, a very bright blue, yellow, all kinds of colors. And when I looked at that, I thought, oh my goodness, what if that's what Jesus was looking at when he was trying to explain? They were gorgeous. But his point was that not even Solomon, in all of his glory, looked like that, as good as that. So he's basically saying, here we have the plant life. So we went from the animal kingdom to the plant kingdom, And he's saying, look how beautiful that these are, and they don't do anything. They don't toil, they don't spin, but yet, look how beautiful they are. It's talking about how God provides. And so he goes on to say, he says, wherefore, or therefore, if God so clothed the grass, we don't think about grass. I mean, what do we do all summer is cut grass. We cut grass. We don't really think about it. But if God goes through so much trouble to clothe the grass of the field, which today is, because it's growing up, and then tomorrow is cast in the oven, shall he not much more clothe you? And then here's the crux of the matter. O ye of little faith. You see where that is? He's going with this. We just don't trust you, Father. We don't trust you. And so because of that, dare I say it becomes a sin? When you begin to not trust God, what's the point of following him? What's the point? We miss the point. If our minds are continually living in the future, worrying over, I don't know, like I said, food, clothes, these kind of things, your everyday needs. I'm not talking about extenuating circumstances. If I was in Delbert's shoes, I'd be really concerned. Would I worry? I don't know. But I'd be concerned. There's a difference. There's a difference. Sometimes you know you got to go in for a procedure, or maybe even a life-threatening procedure. But if you worried about it, rather than had faith that God was going to bring you through it, hey, if it was me, I know I'm going to be healed on this side of heaven or that side. So either way, I'm good. Either way, I'm good. But the fact is, a lot of times we just don't trust God. And Jesus says, O ye of little faith, you have no faith. We have to learn to believe. All right, so now he's kind of winding this thought down. So he says, therefore now, okay, so what's the conclusion of this matter? Take no thought, don't worry, saying what shall we eat or what shall we drink or where shall we be clothed? So these are our everyday needs. We need to focus on today and not tomorrow. Okay, you'll see this more in just a moment. Because he adds what's called a parenthetical, which is why you see the parentheses. The reason he says don't worry so much, don't take this thought for all these everyday needs, he said, because after all these things do the Gentiles seek. Wow. That's a heavy statement when you're talking to Jews. He's saying, look, if you're so much worried every day about what you're going to eat, you drink, and put on, guess what? You're no better than the Gentiles. How do you think that went over? not very good. Not very good. Jesus has this way of making his point and probably kind of putting that little twist in there with it. But here's the point of his whole subject. He says, for your heavenly Father knows that ye have need of all these things. That's what we forget sometimes, is that just because we're concerned about it and worried about it, we sort of forget that God's worried about it. That's why I love that song you sing, Durando, that if it matters to you, it matters to the Master. We have to memorize that and understand that God is there to provide for us. But we have to believe that he will. We have to believe. And sometimes these thoughts, by the way, get so ingrained that it's hard to break free. I know. I've been there. It's hard to not think about and worry about what tomorrow is going to bring. But we do. We have to break out of that mold. We have to say to ourselves, it's called positive affirmations for one, but we have to say to ourselves that God will take care of me. God will supply all my needs according to his riches and glory. I think that's in Philippians. But anyway, the point being, God will take care of you. But do you believe it? You have to make a decision about these things. You got to understand that when Jesus tells us all this, we've got to make a conscious decision as to whether or not we're going to apply it not only in our head, but in our life. Are we going to proceed and believe that the Lord is going to provide for us? With, by the way, our participation. We can't just sit down and not work, because Paul says in his writing, he says in Thessalonians, he said, if you don't work, you shouldn't eat. So that there gets rid of this whole idea of just stopping, of just simply planting yourself in the bed or whatever. You realize some people worry so much they can't get out of bed. I know this. I've seen this. But God knows, the Father knows that you have need of all of these things. And we're going to wrap up here, next two scriptures. So now he begins to get to the whole point of the matter. And this is what I want to leave you with. What's your priorities? What are your priorities? What do you consider to be most important of all, of everything? That's what God is looking to you to make this decision. Because he's saying, look, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. In other words, I want to seek after God, and I want to be what Eddie brought up this morning. And I actually sat there and thought about it. He says, you realize we don't say much, less practice holiness these days? You know, it's like we've gotten away, it seems, from this thing called holiness. And if you go back and look at Hebrews, there's a scripture that says, without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. You know, we need to really focus on these kind of things. We got to reintroduce this back into our lives. And so therefore, we seek after God and his righteousness, and dare I say his holiness. And then he says what? If you do that, he says, and all these things shall be added to you. You see how it comes with a condition? If then, that's called a condition. If you do this, if you seek after God and his righteousness, then all these things will be added unto you. Your worries can disappear. You can take away that anxiety that sometimes paralyzes people. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I'm not saying that you're not going to have troubles in your life. My point is you can't let the thinking about those problems and troubles and things like that consume your thoughts. If they do, then you've sort of gotten away from trusting God. I hope I'm making that point good, because that's really the crux of all of this. We need to seek after God and his righteousness, and then all of these everyday things will be added to you. And so finally, he says this at the end. So therefore, now that I've told you this, seek after God and his righteousness, and these things will be added unto you. And so therefore, take therefore no thought for tomorrow. For the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. And sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. In other words, folks, I'm in the same boat as all of you, and I know that I have enough problems and issues and things to work out for today than to constantly put my mind about what's going to happen tomorrow. That's what he's saying. All these things that we think about for tomorrow, we worry about them, we get all anxious and tense. You realize anxiety will raise your blood pressure? It will raise your blood pressure. It will give you headaches. Have you ever had a stress headache? I tell you, I have to sometimes, Friday, you know, we always like to think, thank God it's Friday, TGIF. Okay, so Friday, I wake up and I'm turning on my computer. I'm working from home and I turn on my computer and immediately, this network has gone down. This place is having problems. One of the problems, by the way, is something happened with their system, and that company, all around the doors, they have what's called these electronic pass keys. Y'all may have them at your work too, Ron. You swipe them, or you either swipe them like a credit card, or you wave them in front of the thing, and it opens the doors. Well, guess what? That went out. Nobody could get in or out. Well, they could get out, but they couldn't get in. They couldn't get into the main system. And I asked the guy, because he said his whole system was down. I said, well, where's the key to the door, to the computer door? Huh. I don't know. I said, you don't have a key to the computer room? No, I've never used it. They've depended on this thing, this swiping the card to work, never thinking that, oh, if it ever goes down, how am I going to get in there and turn off the equipment and turn it back on? And I'm like, anyway, so that, there's number two. And then I had another company over in out west, California and all. I mean, folks, I was being pounded. One problem after the other. I had three conversations. You probably do this too, either on email. We have MS Teams. We chat on that. We phone call. We do it over Teams. And folks, sometimes technology is a good thing. Sometimes it's not. But my point is, I was being slammed. Deronda knows. I couldn't even stop really to eat lunch. It was that bad. It was this person. Then all of a sudden, here comes another text. Somebody else is needing help. It was never ending. So I took a moment. I just stopped, closed my eyes, and I breathed. That's one thing we got to learn to do again, folks. Breathe. Because sometimes you don't realize you're holding your breath. Everything is, you're tensing up. You're holding your breath. And so you got to breathe. And I was just saying, you know, the Lord is good and the Lord provides. And I was just going through scripture and things that I can remember about the Lord. And I was praising him. I was praising him that he gave me the ability to help solve these problems. And so immediately my mindset now is beginning to change. I don't feel as overwhelmed as I was. I don't feel as overwhelmed. And one by one, we were getting all these problems knocked out. That one's done. Okay, now this one's solved. And now that one's solved. And it's like, thank you, Lord. But you see how that works, folks? The devil tries to throw all these things. And if you think the devil doesn't work behind the scenes in equipment, I can remember, and of course, Rhonda told me, all of our cars, we had four cars. Me, Deronda had hers, Aaron, Jason, every one of them broke down in a month, maybe within 3 weeks. They all broke down, seriously broke down. I had a transmission go out. Jason had his motor mess up. And Rhonda told me, he said, maybe you ought to go out and anoint your cars. That was good advice. That was good advice because we were all, almost at the same time, we were all stranded. You know, basically, in fact, that Jason's car went bad down at Myrtle Beach. That was a bad place to throw a rod. That was pretty much what happened. Tom and chain broke. Anyway, they had to replace a few valves and cost about $1,500. But we got it done. But do you see what happens? All of a sudden, I felt like we were being attacked. It can be overwhelming. But at the same time, thank God I was at a better spiritual place than like maybe Jason and Aaron, because they were all upset. How are we going to do that? How are we going to get to work? How are we going to? It just goes on and on and on. But the thing is, I said, don't worry. We will get it fixed. It will be all right. And it did. Turned out all right. But folks, you got to catch yourself. When you find yourself worrying about everything tomorrow, Jesus is saying, don't think about tomorrow. Yes, plan. You realize some people use this scripture here as a reason to not buy life insurance? That's silly. But they use this scripture. Well, why do I need life insurance for? That's for tomorrow. Well, of course, plan for tomorrow. But don't worry about it. Just because I bought life insurance don't mean I'm going to worry whether I'm going to live or die tomorrow. You see where it can go? It can get ridiculous. But anyway, I hope this makes sense, that for our everyday needs, that we should not put so much energy and time in worrying about tomorrow. Thank you, Lord. Father, We're so grateful for the words of Jesus. Lord, I pray that you help us, that in our everyday life, Lord, that we can put our heart and our faith in the hands of Jesus Christ, because we know that you care for us, and we know that you're going to take care of us. But Father, sometimes it's hard to trust you. I know it's ridiculous to say, but it is. It's hard to trust you sometimes. But that's our human self. Give us that faith and that spirit that we will believe and trust you with our everyday needs and even the things that come upon us all of a sudden. Father, we're so grateful and we thank you for all you do for us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.